Friends, I struggled to write this sermon this week. Sitting at my desk, a little better than a week following a violent mob storming at the U.S. Capitol, I confess to all of you that returning to business as usual has been difficult. Like many of you, I am completely heartbroken. On the one hand, I can't believe what my eyes have witnessed. On the other hand, I know full well that what happened in Washington was a predictable outcome of a long and reckless disregard for the truth. This is what happens when a leader blatantly refuses to acknowledge reality. This is what happens when the truth dies. How fitting, considering the turbulence of the previous couple weeks, that we find ourselves on this second Sunday after the Epiphany in the week of prayer for Christian unity. Lord, your children need your guidance. O Lord, have mercy. Our readings for this second Sunday after the Epiphany are all about seeing. In the book of 1 Samuel, we meet the priest, Eli, whose spiritual eyesight has grown dim, and he cannot see right what is right before him. And in our gospel reading, Jesus sees Nathanael under a fig tree, prompting Nathanael, the skeptic, to look past his own stereotypes and see Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God. As I read and reread these texts in the aftermath of those Wednesday's events, two lines stood out for me. The first is from our Hebrew Bible. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And the second is from John's Gospel. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I'm not sure, but maybe I'm drawn to these lines right now because they somehow speak into the cultural climate anxieties of today. As we witness the violence explode within the capital of our closest friends and allies, I found myself fearing that nothing good and just will come from this brokenness. But of course, this isn't true. As Christians, we profess belief in a God who never stops speaking to us. Our God is a God of love and mercy and healing. Can anything good come out of Wednesday's violence? Yes, and this is the hope that Jesus offers us and to the world at this critical intersection. In Kevin's very pastoral sermon last week, he invited all of us to think globally and act locally. And with God's help, we will have the courage, strength, and humility to see the world as God sees it, to see each other as God sees us, and respond according to our baptismal vows of love and justice. Eli the priest, from our Hebrew Bible reading, no longer expects to hear or see anything from God. But it isn't because God has abandoned him. Eli cannot muster the courage or the will to do what God desires. His sons are also priests, but they have lost their way and dishonored God. And when Eli fails to restrain his sons, God turns to the boy, Samuel, who is a child on the periphery. A child whose sight and hearing remain uncompromising by the schemes and politics of the day. And it's Samuel whom God calls on to name the corruption in his own religious home. What would it look like for us to do the same in a difficult cultural moment? What does truth look like now, and where and how are we being called to respond to it? Epiphany is a season of light and revelation. It is a season of searching, discovering, and knowing. In our reading from John's Gospel, we meet a skeptic named Nathanael, who thinks he knows exactly who God is and how God works. The story begins with Jesus going to Galilee, finding Philip, and inviting him to follow me. Philip accepts the call and runs off to find his friend Nathanael, who is sitting under a fig tree. But Nathanael doesn't share Philip's enthusiasm because his religious assumptions don't allow him to see anything wondrous or surprising in a simple carpenter from the wrong side of the tracks. Rather than arguing with Nathanael, Philip simply encourages his skeptical friend to come and see. And when Nathanael does, he receives the shock of his life. As soon as he and Jesus see each other, and before they exchange even a single word, Jesus says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Immediately, Nathanael shifts from doubt to faith. He experiences an epiphany. But at its core, this story is not about what Nathanael sees. It's about what Jesus sees. It's a story about Jesus's way of looking and seeing, and about what becomes possible when we dare to experience life in Jesus. In this story, what makes salvation possible is not what Nathanael sees in Jesus, but what Jesus sees in Nathanael. But seeing, of course, is always selective. We have choices when it comes to what we see, what we prioritize, what we name, and what we call out in each other. The selves we present to the world are layered and messy, and it takes both love and patience to sift through those layers and find what lies at the core of who each of us are. But there is great power in that sifting too. Something healing, something holy, something life-changing happens to us when we are deeply seen, deeply known, when we're named and accepted. Is it possible for us to see our present moment as Jesus sees it? What might be possible if, instead of assuming that nothing good can come out of the cultural mess of last week's events, can we accept Philip's invitation to come and see? To come and see is to approach all of God's creation with a grace-filled curiosity to believe that we are holy mysteries to each other, worthy of knowing. To come and see is to enter into the joy of being deeply seen and deeply known, and to have the very best that lies hidden within us called out and called forth. I write these words in hope. In a fragile hope, yes, but hope, because we are held by the eternal promise of Jesus, who said, "You will see greater things than these." Friends, good does come out of Nazareth. How will you respond?